Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Late last year, a school in the southern Indian state of Karnataka implemented a hijab ban. It told its female students you cannot wear hijab to school. That ban spread to other schools in the southern state, and so did protests criticizing it. So today on the stream, we are going to be unpacking the Karnataka hijab row. Joining our discussion, we have Fatima, we have Shazia, we have Syra. Good to have all three of you with us. Fatima, please introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Fatima Khan. I'm a journalist based out of New Delhi in India. I cover gender and human rights and social justice. And I've been working for a couple of years, traveling across various parts of the country to cover riots and hate crimes and communalism.
Shazia, good to have you on our panel today. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
Well, I've been a journalist for several years, and I've been a television news anchor. And I'm the national spokesperson for Bharatiya Janata Party, which is the ruling party of India. And I have also been in activism for many, many years, and I've worked for transparency and good governance. And I've worked against corruption. And I've led many campaigns around it.
All right.
And also against rape and pro-women legislation. I mean, pro-women's rights legislation.
You're a very busy spokesperson. Hello, Syra. Good to have you on board. Please introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hello, everyone. My name is Syra Shah Haleem, and I've been in corporate booths for a good 15 years. And since then, I've been actively involved in causes which are close to my heart, that is preserving secularism, democracy, and holding the government accountable. And that is what I'm busy with. I work with women, and I write articles on policy governance and women issues.
Okay, good to have all three of you. Audience, now you have met our panelists. What would you like to ask them? How would you like to talk to them? The comment section is right here. Be part of today's program. I'm going to start with a map to show our audience where we're talking about. Well, where the story started, not necessarily where it's gone to, because this is a conversation that is now being had all over India. But let me just take you to the southern state of Karnataka. Fatima, I did a very brief description of what happened. One school said to the female students who are Muslim, you cannot wear hijab to school. Why would they do that, Fatima? You've done some of the reporting, you've spoken to some of the youngsters involved. Why were they told can't wear hijab to school anymore? They used to be able to.
Well, it came as a surprise to them as well. These are six odd young girls between the ages of 16 to 18. You know, the thing is that last year, because of COVID, the school, their college was completely offline. So when they actually returned to in-person schooling, they were entering their classroom as they usually do. And their class teacher told them that, look, the only way you can enter this classroom is if you take off the piece of cloth on your head, which is their hijab. And they immediately revolted against that. They protested. They said, no, this is an essential part of our identity, who we are, and it is in no way or form disrupting you or your class. But they weren't allowed to enter. These girls subsequently, they stood their ground and they have been protesting outside their college for over 2 months now. But what ended up happening is because this eventually became national news, global news, it snowballed into something that no one actually saw coming, which is several other colleges across Karnataka having a similar law against Muslim girls wearing the hijab entering the university.
I want to bring in one of those youngsters. Her name is Aisha, because as this whole story escalated, it's the youngsters who were wearing hijab, who no longer could wear hijab to school, who are really on the sharp end of this story. Here's Aisha.
My friends, my non-Muslim friends, I lost them. They started hating us a lot. And one thing, I feel like to concentrate at least in my home, but I'm not able to concentrate even in the home. Whenever I sit to study, all this comes on my mind. I'll forget about, I don't know how to concentrate. I lost that. And my education, I want to be something and good. I should earn something. And I should make proud to my parents. I have more ambitions, and I lost many things, I can say, and I want my rights back.
Sorry, I want to share something with you. This is a tweet that came into us a little bit earlier as our audience realised we were doing this show. On my laptop, Malik says, India is a secular democracy with a glorious past. Wearing a religious attire to school for children under 18 is itself wrong in the first place. School is a place where children learn equality, teamwork and uniformity. Religious dressing does not promote these values. Sarah, thoughts?
So, I do not agree with this. Nobody is asking anyone to wear any religious markers to school. However, the discussion right now is whether the hijab is intrinsic to Islam or not. So, I have done my schooling primarily in a Christian missionary school and then a Christian missionary college and then a boarding school with strong Christian ethos. There was never any issues with Muslim girls from conservative families wearing the hijab. And whenever any new rule is read out, it's done in the beginning of the academic year. And that is what people are questioning the government, the timing. The timing is so improper and insensitive that there are 2 months left for the final exams to begin. Mm. And these girls are facing harassment. And if you look at the High Court order, the interim order said that this order is only for the students. However, you must have seen very disturbing visuals coming in where teachers were asked to remove the hijab outside the premises of the varsity, which in fact is very nauseating and disturbing and can really make a person lose his or her morals being disrobed like that in the full view of television cameras. You must have seen a video of this young girl, Muskan, whose picture has become a symbol of activism and a symbol of protest against the atrocities that are happening.
If I may be allowed to...
I'm going to play that video because I don't want you to describe it. I want to play it. Let's put the sound up. This is a youngster trying to go to school. She's wearing hijab. There's a hijab ban. Let's hear that sound. The crowd is yelling at her. Young men are yelling at her. Go ahead, Shazia, what did you want to say?
So while you play this visual, there are many other visuals and I will tweet them to your channel and to the stream. But show young girls wanting to go to school, and when they go there, they are told off the interim order, which says that nobody wearing any form of religious attire will be allowed. And the little girls insisting that they still would like to go to school, and their fathers would say no and would insist, because we all know that what you consider right to choose is not, and a freedom to choose is really not a freedom, and it's part of social conditioning and indoctrination, and a young girl of 13, 14, and 15 would not be able to do that. There are some a lot of misinformation that has been bandied around, and I would just like to inform your viewers. Somebody here who claims to be a journalist, I think Fatima, says there is a law like that. Let me tell you, there is a Karnataka State University 1983 Act. So the law in India is very, very clear. The law in India for minority institutions is that they can have the uniform as per their liking. And there is a law for every state. Let me finish what I'm saying.
Because I never said there's a law, so don't misquote Shazia. And I don't claim you.
I heard the word law, and I want to also just say there is no ban on hijab. So there is a... Can I just finish saying what I'm saying, please? You can come in later. I just want to clear the air here. And as a responsible citizen and somebody... let me make it clear to everybody who's watching this. There is no hijab ban in India, either by the interim court or by any school whatsoever. Okay. There is a uniform, and that is a state subject. That is a state subject to the state law, just like you would have a law for schools in public schools in the state of, let's say, New York or in the state of New York or Louisiana. as opposed to and there would be minority institutions.
All right, so Shazia,
let me tell
Shazia,
you, according to a Pew report,
right, Shazia, report, let's move on, ladies. Give me a no pause for a moment. Just so give me. Just give me a pause for a moment. I had no point said there was a hijab ban in India. So if Indians are under that...
there is no hijab ban at all.
I made that
and
very clear.
And the courts would never allow that.
Shazia, hold tight for a moment.
Nobody is allowed to go to the school wearing any kind of religious attire. Not just hijab, but any form of...
That's a lie.
All right, ladies, hold tight for a moment. I hear it's a lie. Let's hear why you would say that, Fatima. Go ahead.
Because there are students who wear the tilak, who wear the red dhaga, which is symbolic to Hinduism. There are Sikhs who wear the turban and go to schooling. So, I mean, to even say that any kind of religious attire is not allowed is outrightly, brazenly a lie. And I'll tell you why this is a problem. India is a deeply, deeply religious country. What does that mean? It means that Uttar Pradesh, which is going to polls right now, its chief minister, Uttar Pradesh is just FYI, the most populous state in the country. Its chief minister is a saffron-clad monk. He literally wears saffron robe. And he's the chief minister. He's a constitutional authority. One. Number two, the fact that, there
needs to be
uniformity.
So what's wrong with that? So he can wear whatever he wants to wear, right? As an adult?
Those girls can wear whatever. Just like those girls can wear whatever
they
want.
Why do you have a problem with a saffron-clad monk?
So Fatima and Shazia, I hear the back and forth. Just give me a little bit of a moment, ladies. Give me a moment so that Syra can also make her point. And then I'm going to go back to the youngsters. Because again...
I mean, he doesn't have a right to...
Yes,
right,
we're not going to have a whole
according...
deviation about
so
this one particular
don't?
Minister. Ladies, hold tight
that
for a moment.
For the past
Fatima, Shazia, hold tight for a moment. Just fade them down. Fade them down. Fade them down. Fade them down. All right. And keep Syra's mic open. Shazia, we can't hear you. Your lips are moving. We can't hear you because I need you to pause for a moment. Syra, go ahead. What point did you want to make?
All I'd like to iterate here is that Shazia is representing the government. She's obviously trying to cover up for all the blunders. Now, I'd like to again say that the government says that the objective was to bring in about a uniformity in educational institutions. But the petitioners are saying this is a complete violation of Article 15, Article 19.1, which is, again, freedom of speech and expression. Now, here the government people who are representing the government, they are saying that, no, it's not, some kind of an aberration, from 19.1. And they said we are sticking to Article 25.2. That means regulation and restriction. Okay? And here, the secular activity which may be associated, which may be restricted, and if it is a public nuisance, now tell me, when did the hijab become a public nuisance, or when did it become a civic calamity? And here,
wonderful.
Here, people.
Wonderful. That people is so adorable. That is such a. That is so adorable. Okay, can I? So I just like Syra made it out to be me being the spokesperson.
So Syra, I'm going to put a pause on you so that I can hear Shazia as I put a pause on Shazia so I could hear you.
So let me tell all of you. My mother wore a burqa and all my aunts wore a burqa. And just like she said, I'm a spokesperson for the BJP. I'm also a daughter of a famous Islamic scholar. And I had to fight burqa. And I know how terrible it was. And there's really, it's very difficult to fight that kind of conditioning. And I can similarly say for Syra Shah Halim, who's married to a communist leader, and she's a spokesperson for the Communist Party in India. And she is known to be... she's a spokesperson for anybody who speaks against the ruling party, that it's a political stand. But I think when it comes to rights of young girls to have access to education, we should forget about politics. Just like we heard the other two speakers,
Shazia,
my friends here.
I want to hold that. Hold that thought.
I did not mention BJP here.
Ladies, hold that thought for a moment. Ladies, hold that thought for a moment. Shazia says it shouldn't be about politics. I'm going to bring in Aliyah, who wears hijab, who's in Karnataka. She says the opposite. She makes a connection between the hijab ban and politics. Here she is.
In hijab, the most beautiful memory is that with hijab, I went to national level karate. I'm a national level karate player, and I was with hijab itself. I was a hijabi karate player, national level. That was a proud, like really very proud moment for me, because there was no other girls with hijab. These are political games, a dirty political game which they are playing, and they're succeeding. I want everyone to understand that they want to divide us, so they are playing this game. They know that if we become united, they are in a risk. I hope everybody will open their eyes and see that whatever they are doing is for their political mileage. You will not get any benefit. I will not get any benefit by this hatred which we are showing.
Now, what does Alia mean about politics being connected to the hijab ban? Let me show you the map of India again. The state of Karnataka is in the southern part of India. And I'm also going to just highlight some of the states that have elections right now. There is a connection, and some people are saying there's a connection between the hijab ban, how it has escalated, and how it is being used. Fatima, do you want to just give us a brief idea of how that coverage is happening in India right now? And then Shazia, I know you'll want to come right back in after that.
Very quickly, three brief points. Okay, the conversation unfortunately has shifted, and I urge you, Femi, to not allow it to shift to some kind of a feminist argument, because I can assure you the 30-odd young men you saw in that visual harassing Muskan, wearing saffron shawls, they are not feminists. They are literally bullying and harassing her. So in no way or form should we make this out to be some conversation between choice and conditioning. That debate has existed in classrooms for decades now, and it will continue to. And it is a valid debate. But to even suggest that these men in this visual are some sort of purveyors of feminist values would be a lie. These girls, you heard Alia right now talking about how she's a hijab-wearing karate champion. Do not infantilize her by saying she doesn't know what she's talking about. I have interviewed these girls right at the onset of the controversy, and I was amazed but not in the least surprised by how articulate they were about why they choose to wear the hijab. I cannot go and lecture them about why they should or shouldn't wear hijab. They have a brain inside that headscarf, and they can choose for themselves. So for any of us to be sitting on this panel today and talking about how they are conditioned would actually be remarkably patriarchal. And I am personally offended. And I think if anyone here talks about women's rights or social justice, they should be ashamed of themselves for making such a patriarchal assumption on someone else's behalf.
Shazia, I am going to give you a video comment to have a listen to and respond to immediately. This is Navya Singh.
No, I would not like to listen to it, Femi, if you could allow me to speak.
It's part of our discussion.
Because I want to comment on what has just been said.
We have six minutes left, Shazia. So I'm going to push on. And then as you hear this, it's completely on topic.
I'm calling it a hijab ban.
This is Navya Singh. Let's have a listen.
The kind of outrage that Karnataka is experiencing right now is pretty appalling. I have studied in a private institution in Bengaluru where people belonging to other religions have also studied. There was no objection to hijab or religious clothing all these years. Then why now? Udupi, which is pretty much the epicenter of this entire outrage, is a long way from Uttar Pradesh. But if you look at it, the hijab row does have an impact on the polls in UP. And I think conspiracy or no conspiracy, nothing should deprive the youth of their right to education, neither selfish electoral goals nor a debate over what to wear.
Shazia has opted out from responding, which is part of our discussion show if you watch the stream. So I'm going to go to Syra. Syra, can you pick up on that idea of connecting how this hijab ban has escalated in the southern part of Karnataka, to do with schools, and then travelled around India? Go ahead.
See, unfortunately, what is happening is BJP doesn't have any agenda or any other issue to talk about. They love dabbling in communalism, and they also instigate people, to commit riots, which is unfortunate. And here, they're thinking that they will win the elections, because right now we have five states that are going to polls. We have Goa, Manipur, Punjab, UP coming up. And this will play rich dividends in case they are able to kind of segregate the society and create a rift between Hindus and Muslims, which is completely orchestrated by the ruling party. It's unfortunate that they're trying to deflect the attention from the core issues of the country, and they're trying to engage by polarizing communities to win the next elections. And not surprisingly, they are getting away with it. So I would, you know, request the Honorable Post to take cognizance of what is happening. And like I am trying to iterate once again, wearing a hijab or turban was never an issue. You must have read that a Sikh girl in Karnataka was also asked to take off her turban, you know, and her parents have refused. This young Sikh girl has also refused. So definitely the minorities are being harassed because they feel that the majoritarian votes would somehow, you know, get collected, and that would benefit them electorally. You know, it started with the Namaz Rao in Gurgaon. Then it became about, you know, banning people, especially the minority community, economically. Then it was the Love Jihad. Then it was the IS Jihad. And it just goes on and on. And now it's come to this issue about the hijab. This is simply to demonize a community that's already been pushed into a shell. And it is unfortunate this is happening in a thriving, healthy, broad-minded democracy, and I hope that the jury, the honorable jury, takes cognizance of this and stops the people, the enablers, which are the foot soldiers of the ruling regime, from bullying the minorities into silence.
So at the moment, we started with the story of the school ban, the hijab ban in the southern state of India. As Shazia said, this is not a ban of hijab all over India. So I don't want you to make that mistake. But at the moment, the High Court in Karnataka is going to decide whether it is legal and lawful for that ban to stay in place. So that brings us up to date. I want to bring in one more voice to our conversation, and this is Nabia Khan. And this is what she has to say. But basically, this is a cultural discussion, a religious discussion that has blown up for the whole of India. Let's have a listen.
State doesn't want upward mobility for Muslims, and the harassment of Muslims has been normalized to such an extent that the response towards hijab ban is lukewarm. Instead of, you know, talking about the right of Muslim women to practice their religion, the right of Muslim women to wear what they want, and the harassment that they are facing in the process, Indian media is having debates on the merits of hijab, which should be none of their concern.
I'm going to share with you some of the thoughts from our online community, as Saira and Fatima. Priyanka says, "This is not harassment, this is equality," on YouTube. Five Star Lamar says, "I'm from Chicago and from the outside looking in, let the ladies wear their hijab, honour their religion. If students want to wear their saffron, let them wear saffron, but intimidating women is low." There's a lot of conversation happening online right now, Fatima. How is this playing out, the bigger picture in India? What is it telling us about India?
It's telling us that we're going down a very, very dangerous road. You know, what I choose to wear is a fundamental right. It is not up for debate. It is not up for debate on Al Jazeera or any other channel. It is not okay that here we are talking about whether or not these women should be allowed or not allowed to wear the hijab. It is bizarre to me that we even need to have this conversation. You know, I don't know if you saw this visual. Miles away from Karnataka, there's another state, Bihar, joining Uttar Pradesh, where a woman, a middle-aged woman who has been wearing the hijab all her life, she went to a bank that is her bank. She has an account there. And the person sitting in the bank said, "No, you'll not be allowed to access your account today because you're wearing the hijab." This is how you normalize hate. So some Muslim woman sitting in some other corner of India, completely supposedly unrelated to this, imagine she is a young Muslim woman wearing the hijab and she plays these visuals, she sees these visuals playing out. Imagine the impact this will have on her psyche. It will absolutely traumatize her that I cannot even become a doctor, engineer, whatever I want to. I cannot pursue my higher studies. I cannot go on to be what I want to be because I live in a country that will not allow my fundamental rights.
Thank you, Fatima. Thank you, Saira. And also thank you to Shazia, who decided she no longer wanted to be part of this conversation, although she did contribute quite a lot in 2/3 of it. Shazia, you're always welcome back to the stream. I just also have to allow me to host the stream as well as having your energetic conversation as well. Hopefully we'll see you on another edition. For now, thanks for watching. See you next time.